Okay. It's coming in clear and get it. Huh? Who's got what up where? I've had it up to here. Okay. I have it up to here. Where? I can't even find it. It's so high up. There we go. Amen. Testing. All right. Luke chapter 9, as we continue expository preaching through the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. We left off. Pick it up here in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 46. Verse 46. There arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. One of the things that makes biblical Christianity different from religion, from any religion, whatever it might be, is that Christianity is the only true religion of the heart. Only in Christianity you find Jesus Christ warning men about lusting in their heart after a woman. In other words, the Lord makes it plain to us that we can sin without ever performing the act, just by lusting over it or allowing that thing to take root and take place in our heart. No other religion worries about that. Religion doesn't worry about what you think or what's in your heart. All they're worried about is the things you actually do. We looked at that this morning. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a Christian, we can sin in our heart. We looked at that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Just your imaginations and your thoughts. You can sin. You haven't actually done anything physically. And yet the Lord sees that still as sin. David prayed this one time. He said, Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What have you meditated on this week? Was everything that you were meditating on acceptable? You see, as Christians, those are the things we should be concerned with, consumed with. That's what our life is about, because we realize, listen, that's the issue, that's the problem. And if I can make sure that all that I'm meditating on my heart is pure and right, then all of my actions will be pure and right. Because my actions are nothing more than a result of the meditations of my heart. Many times with those Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, Jesus Christ would rebuke them and they hadn't said a word. And he would say, why do these thoughts arise in your heart? How'd you like to deal with somebody that knew what you were thinking? I sure am glad Jesus is my friend. How'd you like to try to take on an enemy that knew everything you were thinking? How could you win? You couldn't. Amen. Listen, that's the Lord. The Lord knows everything we're thinking before we do. And here in this passage, these fellas hadn't said anything. Did you notice that? What they were doing is there was at least a few of them in there, and they were reasoning in their heart. What were they meditating on? What were they thinking about? I don't know. I think I could be greater. I mean, John, he's pretty good, and Peter, but I don't know. I think I could be a greater man, a greater Christian than them. That's what's going on. Now, none of them said that. There wasn't anything coming out of their mouth, but they were thinking it. What he said, look, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest, and Jesus perceiving what? The thought of their heart. They were reasoning where? Not with their mouth. They're just thinking about it. And as soon as they thought about it, the Lord was right there. How do you know if you're walking with the Lord? Well, that's one way you know. Does the Lord tell you every time you're starting to think the wrong thing? Is he right there to say, why are you thinking that? Why are you meditating on that? Why are you letting that bother you? Why is that what happens? Listen, if you're walking with Jesus Christ, he'll be right there to say, he knows what's on your heart. He knows what's on your mind. And as soon as that thing comes up, buddy, the Lord's right there to get those fellas straight. He didn't wait on that thing. You notice that? Soon as those wrong perceptions, those wrong thoughts start percolating up in that heart, the Lord's right there to say, hey, what are you doing? But what are you musing on? And as Christians, we ought to thank God that he knows the meditations of our heart, the thoughts of our mind. That can save you a lot of trouble. But you realize that's where the real battle is. If you can ever get victory there, you've got victory. Because that's where it's all taking place. Welled up down in there. And the Lord sees this thing with these fellas, and he's got to straighten them out. Now, the title of my message this morning is Aspiring for Greatness. Aspiring for Greatness. Was the Lord upset? Was the Lord angry with these fellas because they wanted to be great? It couldn't be that. How does he end the thing up? Look at verse 48. He said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child of my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be what? Great. Does the Lord want you to be great? Any parents here? You want your kids to be great? Is it wrong to aspire for greatness? Is that what the Lord's upset about? The fact that they're wanting to be great followers of Christ? That they're wanting to be great Christians? No, not at all. That's not what's going on here at all. This was an expression. It started coming out, I guess, about a dozen years ago now, something like that. You go like that. Right? What is that? I know it's kind of... It's not as cool anymore because it's been done for a while, so it's not in fad anymore. But it was about 12 years ago, I think, it came out with that right there, right? What is that? Loser, right? Loser. Well, if you're not aspiring for greatness, what are you? Are you aspiring for greatness? Or are you just trying to kind of get by? The Lord's desire was greatness. He didn't have a problem with them wanting to be great. I believe he encouraged it. You know the biggest problem with liberalism, socialism, communism? You know what the problem is with all those philosophies? The biggest problem with all those is what? It gets rid of the opportunity for greatness. We've all got to be the same. What does that mean? We all have to be as strong as the weakest link. What is communism, socialism, liberalism? What does all that mean? These guys have more money than us. We should have their money. Okay, now we all have the same money. Now we're all poor. We achieved our desire, which was what? Let's bring everybody down to the lowest level. That's what's behind that philosophy. See? That's what's behind that philosophy. No greatness there. You're not going to find it there. That's not how you achieve it. They got in the school systems now this idea of, well, we're not going to do grades. We might make somebody feel bad. And if we don't have grades, well, then nobody can fail. Yeah, but if you don't have grades, then nobody can aspire for a 4.0. Nobody can aspire to be the honor student. I mean, they used to have bumper stickers. Parents, they were proud of their kids. You know, I'm proud of my child. He's a student. He's an honor student. My child's an honor student. Bumper sticker, man, to put on their car. Proud of their kid. My child's an honor student. Now, I guess, what is it? My child graduated. What has happened to the United States of America? What has happened to Christianity? When we no longer aspire for greatness. Oh man, I'll just be happy to be there in heaven. Really? You just want to get by, huh? Is that it? Just give me my food stamps and my beer and I'll go home and be happy. I aspire to continue to breathe. Is that your life? Is there more to it than that? All the teams get the trophy. That's fair, isn't it? Imagine. Listen, one day, the students where everybody got the trophy will be running this country. Why did everybody get a trophy? Well, nobody would feel bad. I'm glad that hasn't caught on in the Olympics yet. You know what? It was a blessing to me to see the United States of America, amen, win more medals than any other country. That's a blessing. Amen. I like it. I like to see that. Inspiration for greatness. The way we're going in this country, you give it about 3 or 4 more Olympics, and the average American will be happy that we placed 7th. That's what's going on in this country. That's the spirit. That's the heaviness you've been feeling on you. That's what's going on. It's a desire to bring this country down. You do it through liberalism, through socialism, through communism. You take away that innate desire that you were born with to achieve and be something, accomplish something, to strive for greatness. How many of you really have a desire within your heart for your children to be worse off than you? You don't have that. No parent has that. What does every parent want for their children? You want them to have it better than you did. You want them to succeed more than you did. To accomplish more than you did. That's in you. God put that in us. You take that out, what have you done to a human race? You take that out of Christianity, what have you done to the church? Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Huh? Liberty! This country was founded on liberty. What happened? They had what was called the Great Awakening, middle of the 1700s. And that was followed by the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and everything else. It all started with a with a spiritual revival of Christianity. That's what this country was formed on and founded on. And that gave that desire for liberty. Why? Because they knew that as a result of liberty, greatness would arise. Why are we the country that began the electric grid? The manufacturing of the automobile. Who is it that's really been the one achieving energy success, military success, medical, technological advances? Who's been the ones in space and beyond? But in America, as federal power and tyranny continues to increase, the ability and the desire for greatness goes down. One follows the other. Greatness is achieved where there's liberty, where there's freedom to achieve. God gave us liberty as Christians for what purpose? So that we could be the least we could be? Now, I purposely, my leadership, my management style, whatever you want to call it as a pastor, is real hands-off on purpose. On purpose. And the reason I say on purpose is because I am a micromanager. I get involved in something, I'm going to run it. I'm going to tell you everything to do and how to do it because I know I got to be in charge, I got to run it. That's me. It's in me. I have to fight that. So what do? I stay away from it. Amen. That's why I don't mess much with the fellows over there at the detention center. I give them liberty in that ministry as much as possible. Ask Brother Burrell how many times I'm over there checking on him at the boys' home, and telling him how he's to run things. I don't do it. So why? Because if I got over there and started doing it, I would. You think I'm over there every Saturday night with the guys at RU telling them how the ministry is supposed to go and what they're... No. Over there at the jail with them or... Back there with Jacob telling him how to do the auto ministry and... No. Say why? Because liberty allows aspirations for greatness. Not where somebody's always on you on this, that, and the other thing. No. That'll bring... averageness. Because the only reason then you're doing anything is because there's somebody on you, and you're getting it done. It gets done. It gets done. Good. It got done. There'll never be greatness that way. You follow me? It won't happen. But Brother Ray, when you do that, don't you realize there's more opportunity for things to go wrong? Yep. But that's the way it is. The more liberty you give for things to go wrong, the more liberty you give for things to go right. What are you going to do? Listen, the idea is you want to give opportunity for greatness. Some people still haven't been brainwashed yet by this world. Some people still have that desire for achievement, for success, for greatness. Some people have it in them. Some, I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the line, man, just, I don't care. That's how they live their life. That's how they go through the whole rest of their life. Well, I'm surviving. Got my snorkel. It's making it out just above the water. I'm still breathing. I'm okay. We ought to aspire to greatness. The Lord wasn't rebuking those apostles because they wanted to be great. Who in here does the Lord not want to be great? Who of His apostles did He not want to be great? You raise your kids. Are you hoping for mediocrity? Is that the desire of your heart? Boy, I sure hope my kids turn out mediocre. Think about it. What is the Lord's desire for you? Boy, I sure hope he turns out to be average. Think about it. Do you aspire for greatness? Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at a couple of verses real quick. Deuteronomy 6. What is greatness to you? Well, from looking at the Bible, I'd say this is one area that I'm aspiring for greatness at. I didn't say I'd achieved it. See, I didn't say anything here about achieving greatness. I'm talking about aspiring for it. Do you want it? Do you desire? Do you have that desire of improvement, of excelling, of accomplishment, of success? Or are you just kind of like, well, it's good enough for me. Sit back in my lawn chair and hang with my sweet tea. Look here with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Is that you? How about if we just achieved that? You know what God says? I don't want you to love me averagely. Is that a word? I'm not looking for mediocre love. I'm not looking for you to have a mediocre, lukewarm love for my words or for me. I expect you to love me with everything you got. Greatness is what God desires. That's what He expects. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you can turn there if you like, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? You believe that? God inspired it. He gave it to us. Why? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, instruction in righteousness, reproof. What is all that about? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Does that sound like a God that's looking for mediocrity? Is that why He gave us His Word? So that we can say, well, at least I'm saved. Come on now. What is greatness to you? Now think about it. Half the people on planet Earth are below average. Look with me in Luke chapter 17. Well, I don't believe, Brother Ray, that we should pressure our children to want to succeed. We'll bring too much stress in their life. Listen, the stress that's in a young person's life, I used to be one. The stress I got wasn't my parents trying to push me on to be successful. The stress I got was from my peers. The stress I got was from trying to live under that peer pressure. The stress I got was from sin that I was allowing in my life. It wasn't from being compelled to be something and make something and accomplish something and aspire to greatness. Do you know how diamonds are formed? We shouldn't put it. Let them stay cold. We don't desire diamonds anymore, do we? We don't desire jewels anymore, do we? Think about it. That whole thing of Christianity and the rewards is gold and silver. How do you get pure gold and pure silver? You just keep melting it, man. You put it in the fire. How do you get the jewels, the precious stones? Pressure, pressure, pressure. Well, the preacher's always getting on us about not doing right. Yep. Yep. You know when that's going to change? No, it could change when you all start doing right. Until then, the pressure's going to stay on. I need that pressure. I don't know about you. I need the Lord to keep taking that hot poker, ping, ping, you know, compelling me, motivating me, inspiring me, pushing me on to something more. Wow, I accomplished that goal. Now I can relax. Really? No more goals? Nothing more to aspire for or to achieve? You've made it as far as you want to go, huh? You've settled. You've settled. That's the opposite of aspiration. It's to settle. I bought a bag of chips. Big old bag of chips like this. I opened that thing up. That thing was about halfway full of chips. All the rest of that thing was air. I bought air, man. $3.49, and I got $1.70 worth of chips. The rest was air. I bought air. But I read the thing, and it says, hey, well, when we filled this bag, it was filled. So what happened? They say after a while, it settles. When things settle, which direction do they go? What are you settling for? Or what are you aspiring for? We okay this morning? You with me? Luke chapter 17. Did I tell you to turn there? Okay, I forgot. It's been so long. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 10 with me, please. Verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's the Lord's counsel to you and I. He's just never satisfied, is he? I mean, that's Jesus. What did Jesus say about you and I? Listen, Lord, I want you to know, I prayed every day this week. I read my Bible every day this week. I was in church every time the doors were opened. I tithed and I handed out gospel tracts. Lord, I've done everything I was supposed to do this week. And the Lord said, yes, you did. You're an unprofitable servant. What? Is that what he said? Why? All you've wanted to do is do the least. Just your duty. Just enough to get by. We okay this morning? At your job, is that what you do? Is that how you do your job? Christian, where you work as with your Christian testimony? Is that how you do your job? Just enough to get by? Just enough to not get fired? Just a little better than the worst guy so that it won't be you next in line. Dads, that's the father you're going to be? No, I was good enough. Husbands, wives, moms, young people. That's why the Bible says they comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, at least than that one. You know what I like to do? I like to read biographies of great Christians. I find it inspiring. I don't know about you. I find that inspiring. When I read about Christians and things they've done or accomplished or gone through, or survive, whatever. And I look at that and I say, wow, look what they were willing to sacrifice. Look what they were willing to do for God. Look how they were willing to live their life. And it inspires me to want to be like them. What books do you read? You aspire to. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you hang around people better than you on purpose? To become better? Or are you too insecure for that? I love hanging around people that are better than me. People that are holier than me. People that know the Bible better than me. I enjoy that, man. I'm hoping some of it rubs off. Amen. I like being around Christians that got joy. Man, I want some more of that. Give me that. Because who you're hanging around, that's what you'll be like. What you associate with, that's what you'll become. That's why we get on you about the television and the movies and all the rest of that. You understand that? A television is just a thing. It ain't nothing. But the idea is it's the stuff you're communicating with. It's the stuff you're hanging around. It has an effect on you. You'll start to laugh at the things they laugh at. Have their philosophies, their way of looking at things. Their thoughts will become your thoughts instead of God's thoughts becoming your thoughts. I want to be inspired to greatness. I like listening to good preaching. Inspires me to greatness. Can I ask you a question? How great is Jesus Christ? We sing that song, "Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art." You mean that song when you sing it? You want to be more like Jesus Christ? What does that mean? You're aspiring to greatness. Who's greater than Jesus Christ? Nobody. That's who we should look to. That's what we should aspire towards. Now notice, if you will, in the passage, look back there in Luke chapter 9, verse 46. "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest." You see, it wasn't that they had an aspiration for greatness. Their problem was they had an aspiration for greatest. You understand what I'm saying? As a kid, we would play a game called King of the Hill. Y'all ever play King of the Hill? You find a brow of a hill somewhere, jungle gym, something, where there's a pinnacle. And then what do y'all do? All these boys get together, and they beat each other up. And the one that's able to get to the top wins. See? And you're trying to get to the top, and the only way to get to the top is to take the other people and pull them down. And you keep kicking them down and pushing them down so you can get to the top. You know what was in these apostles' heart? That was what was in their heart. That's what the Lord saw. So we said, that's flesh. That's not the Lord. The result of that is what? It's envy. It's covetousness. It's pride. It's strife. Which of your children do you desire to be the greatest? Or do you want to see them all become great? Which of us in here do you suppose God wants to become great? Would it be a problem if we all became great? You know what the Lord's saying is, hey, you can be great and the other guy can be great too. You don't have to kick somebody else down to bring yourself up. You don't have to fight against each other in this thing to be what I want you to be. I believe God's will for each and every one of us is greatness. Not sameness. You with me? Sorry, I didn't mean to go like that. Not sameness. The Lord doesn't want us to all be the same. The Lord's a God of differences. He loves different colors, different flowers, different shades, shapes. We understand that. And so you be great how God wants you to be great. I need to seek to try to be great how God wants me to be great. Amen. We're not all going to be the same. We should all aspire to greatness. Say, why do you have a Bible Institute? To give those that desire and have an aspiration of greatness a better opportunity to achieve it. That's all. That's all. It's just a tool. It's just an opportunity for those that are desiring greatness to have a better chance of achieving it. But that in itself can't do it. The only thing really that can do it is that desire that you have within. I don't know how to put that in you. I wish I could figure out how to do that. From what I've seen, I think everybody has it in them, but some people have it taken from them. There's something happens in their life and that character is flawed. It's ruined. It's affected somehow where now there's just not that desire anymore. There's not that zeal. They got disappointed or something happened. And now it's just like, well, what's the point? What's the use? I'll just be happy with what I have. Or else you'll become like an anarchist, you know, and you'll be one of the 99%. We're the 99%. We're proud of the fact we're not the top percent. What is that? You know what that's all a result of? Envy. Envy. That's where all that stuff comes from. What is envy? He has something that I want. He's better than me in this area or that area. That's that envy. That's what's going on there. Yeah, I know. Why is it that God gave that to you and not him? Or why is it that God allowed him to do that and not you? Maybe God knows something you don't. Are we going to envy one another and put each other down? Is that God's desire for us? I want to be a great church. I want to be a church that has a great mind for missions. I want to be a church that sees God do and accomplish great things. I'd like to be part of a church where our church is winning more souls every year than the year before. Where we've got the greatest teaching and all going on. We can aspire, doesn't mean we'll ever achieve it. But when we lose the aspiration, we've lost the vision. And where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's look at a few verses real quick. If you wouldn't mind, please. Galatians chapter 5. First, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, I feel like I'm preaching this message, and for some reason, I don't know what it is, I feel like there's some opposition to what I'm preaching. You ought to stand up right now. Stand for your mediocrity. Don't be ashamed of it. Why would you be resisting a message that's trying to spur you on to greatness? I can't get that. I'm sorry. I can't be where you're at. I hope I never am. I'd like to get you where I'm at. Man, I know I ain't much, but I want to be more than I am. I'd like to accomplish something for the Lord in this life. Leave a mark. Galatians chapter 5, look with me in verse 26, please, the last verse in the chapter. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Isn't that weird how that goes on in Christian circles? And you get clicks and you get everything else. Well, I hope the Lord blesses this ministry. I hope He doesn't bless that one. What is that? I want God to bless them all. I want every single one to be great for Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Lord knows my heart. You, right here, right now, there's some of you that think that Brother Ray's a respecter of persons. That's fine. Think what you want. Lord knows. That's all that matters. I am. I respect you all. And I want every single one of you to be great for Jesus Christ. There's not one person in here that I don't want you to see you get all you can and do all you can for the Lord until He comes back. The Lord knows my heart. So, yeah, I'm guilty of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I hear from the kids all the time. Oh, well, you're his favorite. Oh, well, you're mom's favorite. They're looking, they're smiling right now. They know it. All of them think the other one is the favorite of the other one. Isn't that weird? You know why they do that? Because they're kids. Some of you need to grow up. You're welcome. He loves me more than he loves you. Oh, she loves him more than she loves me. Why don't you grow up? I don't know how to help you. Can't be a child your whole life. Grow up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 2. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of my Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. Provoked to do what, brethren? Help me out. Provoked to do what? Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's check it out one more time. What should we be doing as God's people? How should we be handling this thing when it comes to greatness of each of us? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Here it is. It's the job of the church. Look, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to be in church every time the doors are open. There's a reason, there's a purpose for being in church. What is it? Look at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Not trying to get on the hilltop and kicking everybody else down so we can get there. We're to be getting to the hilltop and bringing everybody else with us. Let's all get to the hilltop together. Let's all aspire to greatness and help one another to achieve greatness. Let's not settle for mediocrity. You say, what kind of a ministry do you want in this church? What kind of a music ministry do you want? A great one. Don't settle for anything less. Why? I'd love to see a great music ministry in this church. I'd love to see a great Sunday school program. I'd love to see great youth ministries. I want our RU ministry to be great. I want us to have a great boys' home. I want us to have a great audio ministry, a great visitation ministry, a great jail ministry and detention ministry. a great street preaching ministry. I just want it all to be great. Brother Ray, you're expecting too much. Okay, guilty. I'll go to and answer to Jesus Christ for that. I'd rather aspire for greatness and come up short instead of settling and meet my goal. Look with me in Romans chapter 15, please. Romans 15. We've got to get through this introduction. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to make sure everybody else knows it and make sure they stay weak. No. You know what a real strong Christian is? It's one that's secure enough in their maturity, in their growth, that they're glad to minister, to sacrifice, and to give up to help others. To help others to become greater than them. I'd love to see everybody in this church become a greater Christian than me. Most of you probably already are. That's my desire. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. That's Christianity, brethren. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We want to see others strengthened. We want to see others grow. We want to see others blessed. Do you get a blessing when somebody else gets blessed? Or does it bother you? Well, how come the Lord blessed them and not me? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let's help each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's inspire each other to aspire to greatness. True Christianity. Number one, we ought to desire greatness. Number two, we ought to help others to become great. So you start out in your Christian life being ministered to. But you ought to get to that point and grow to that place where you now can be one that is able to minister to others. You start out being ministered to, and then you want to come to that place where you can then minister to others. How many of you would like to see your children become greater than you? Now look back with me in the passage. Notice one further thing here in verse 48. He said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Greatness in the Christian life is found only through humility. Who's going to be able to become as that little child? Who's going to be able to humble themselves? That's who will be great. That's what Jesus said. The Bible says, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. The way up is down. Think about God's work in Moses' life. Moses, the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. Prince Moses, bow before him. He comes in with his attire. All his ministers are there. He's a big shot. Sees out there, looking out the window. What? Messing with my Hebrew people. I'm going to go deliver them. I'm going to be their deliverer. God's called me to be their deliverer. I'm going to deliver them. He goes down there. He finds that Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brothers. And he takes that guy out. Bam! Kills him. Now you know I'll be your deliverer. Next thing you know, word's out. They've got wanted posters up in the post office for Moses. We got to get him. He's killed. He flees for his life. Spends the next 40 years in the backside of the desert with nothing. Why would God do that? So he could make him great. The only way you'll ever become great is when you become nothing. Joseph, I had a dream. I'm going to rule over all of you. I'm going to be the man. God showed me. I wonder what he was thinking when he was sitting down in that jail cell after being sold into slavery and then falsely accused. Wonder what was going through his mind those years in a dark dungeon. Say, what was God doing? Trying to make him great. Could God make you great if he had to? We were with him in the Holy Mount. We just looked at that in Luke. They see Jesus on that Mount of Transfiguration. They see him lifted up, glorified. Man, boy, Thomas, John, isn't it be great to be with the one that is great? Isn't he wonderful? Boy, he's the guy. He's something. I'm glad we're following him. Who's those guys coming through the garden? I don't know. It looks like Judas is with him. What's he doing kissing Jesus? Take him, take him. What's going on? Peter comes out with that sword. Lord, don't let him take you. What are you doing? Just letting him take you like that. What do you think you're doing? Simon, put up your sword. I'm going to go become great. And they're lying about you. They're making fun of you. Lord, why don't you say something? Why do you keep your mouth shut? Why don't you defend yourself? Because I'm trying to become great. Don't let them just put that crown on you like that. Like those they're beating you on the head with that thing. Don't let them do that. Why you let them do that? Why you? They put the bag over you. They're punching you. And you're just letting them. I know, I could call 12 legion of angels. But instead, I'm aspiring for greatness. Lord, why are you letting them put you up there? What are you letting them do that to you for? You know what that Bible says? Though he was strong, yet he became weak for you. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, he's great! How did he become great? You know what we want? We want that greatness. But we want it without the cross. You'll never get it. You'll never get it without the cross. Let me say this before we close. You'll never be great if you don't get saved. He's talking there about receiving a child in His name. Receiving me, you receive the Father. See, the idea for greatness, you have to receive Christ. If you reject Jesus Christ, you will never be great. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? They climbed Mount Everest. Really? And then 34 years later, they descended into a bottomless pit. Were they great? He got the gold medal! Yeah, but now he's writhing in the fire and screaming out for Mama. And Mom ain't there. Was he great? The only way to greatness is through the cross. Have you come to the cross? Have you come to Christ? Have you received Him? Yeah, but if I do that, I have to go down. I know. I have to go down to the altar. I know. Down. You got to come down to the cross to be saved. You know what God says? You want to go to heaven? You want to go up? You got to be willing to come down. Come down off that high horse. Amazes me how some people, God just like takes a rod to them. Year after year after year after year after year. And they never get it. You won't ever let God break you, will you? Who was it? Ahab? Says to the preacher, he comes his way, he says, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" He wasn't his enemy. He was the one trying to help him. Well, he must be out to get, look what he's doing to me here. Yeah. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get you to get down so that he can make something out of you. But the only way up is down. Let's look at one more verse and we'll be done. Matthew 25. What's your idea of greatness? When you just kind of take this whole message in a nutshell. What is it you're really striving for? What is your goal? Do you have one? I want to share with you mine. I hope it'll become yours. Now, I'm not saying I've achieved it, but I aspire to. I desire to. Look at me in Matthew 25, verse 21. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou unto the joy of thy Lord." For me, if I could ever hear my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say those words to me, I can't think of anything higher, anything better, anything greater. That's what I aspire for. That's what I desire. One day I'm going to see Him face to face. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing if He could say that to me. If He could say that to you. Let's aspire. Let's not settle. Let's stand for prayer. Brother Wayne, would you close us in prayer, please?